the night sky is so prominent in Alaska in the wintertime that having a program like this really helps people understand what they're looking at.
The Chilkat Valley is the next stop for a traveling planetarium exhibit, and winter storms remind harbor users to check their boats. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more coming up. State revenue sharing, education, and local involvement in regulatory and development decisions are among the Alaska Municipal League's top priorities for 2011. The AML Board of Directors held its annual meeting earlier this month in Juneau as part of the group's local government conference. President Hal Smalley says AML will ask the legislature for a one-time increase in revenue sharing. The program divvies up state oil tax money for communities. But for the last couple years, funding has been flat.
It's 4 years it's been in place now. The newer program has been in place. There's been inflation, cost of living increases. And so what we used to purchase with those same dollars is costing considerably more.
Smalley's a member of the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly. He says many municipalities rely on revenue sharing to balance their budgets.
The three biggest expenditures in our particular borough are schools being number one, sanitation being number two, landfills, and then roads. But in other communities across the state, it's basically what keeps their municipal government afloat.
The board also passed nearly 20 resolutions taking positions on state and federal issues, mostly aligned with AML's priorities. One resolution called for changes to the Alaska Coastal Management Program. Former Governor Frank Murkowski did away with the program's Coastal Policy Board, which gave citizens a voice in development decisions on Alaska's coastline. North Slope Borough Assemblywoman Adeline Hobson says that hurt local communities.
After that program was taken out of the state, we had absolutely no voice. There was no way we could issue comments on any projects that were happening that may interfere with whaling, fishing, and all our subsistence needs.
AML wants the legislature to reestablish the board. Two bills introduced last session would have done that, but failed to get much traction. The Parnell administration is content to go without the board as well. The Municipal League represents more than 140 Alaska communities, covering about 97% of state residents. The federal coordinator for Alaska Gas Line Projects, Larry Persily, says Alaska needs a natural gas pipeline more than producers. Producers can go many places to get gas, but as Persily notes, 90% of the state revenue comes from oil and gas taxes. And the Trans-Alaska Pipeline is projected to be three-quarters empty by the end of this decade.
And that assumes that the state projections are correct, because they figure half of what's in there in 2019 doesn't even exist now. So as you look ahead at state revenues coming from that one source, the oil line, we really do need a gas line.
Persily was joined earlier this month by State Senator Hollis French and former House Speaker Ralph Samuels for a discussion of oil and gas issues hosted by the Alaska Municipal League. At one point, community leaders asked what they could do to help state lawmakers make a gas line a reality. Samuels suggested building relationships with industries that would use Alaska's gas.
Develop those relationships with somebody who does that, find out what their needs are, and start working with that. But they have to believe at the end of the day, if they're going to come in and invest their $1 billion to build some plant, they have to believe they've got a feedstock for long term, and they're going to have to believe that they can sell their product.
By now, most local elected officials are familiar with Alaska's efforts to get a gas pipeline built. Trans-Alaska and Exxon are working with state support on one project, while BP and ConocoPhillips have a competing private project. Both took bids this summer from shippers looking to move gas from the North Slope to the lower 48. Many of those bids are believed to come with conditions, and the producers are now negotiating binding agreements. Once the agreements are announced, French expects a special session where legislators revisit the state's oil tax system, but he does not expect taxes to go up.
My view is that oil taxes will go nowhere but down from here. I think we can hold off going down, and I don't think it should go down. But my belief is that, you know, the idea that we would turn to the oil industry and say, oh, we've got to have another, you know, $500 million to make revenues is extremely unlikely. It's very, very hard to do, very explosive, and you run into too many roadblocks.
French, Persily, and Samuels agreed the state would eventually need to separate oil and gas taxes, which are unified under the state's current tax structure. The legislature passed a bill doing just that last session, but Governor Sean Parnell vetoed it. With the first big winter storm punishing much of the Northern Lynn Canal right now, tis the season to check your boats. Coast Guard Sector Juneau Chief Jim Highfill says it's that time of year when vessels can get overloaded with snow and freezing rain while moored in harbor. A vessel that's overloaded runs the risk of listing to one side or sinking.
You have people that go south for the winter. They should have somebody looking over their vessel so that somebody knows that, hey, we're getting a lot of rain, we're getting a lot of snow right now. We should go out there and we could shovel it, free up their scuppers so that water's not building up on the deck and freezing and then causing a lot of ice buildup.
Highfill says many boat owners winterize their vessels by removing excess fuel and putting tarps over them to reduce snow and ice buildup. He says even those boats need to be checked regularly. He says older boats should be checked more often as they require more maintenance and care.
Wooden vessels, they run into problems with old planks going, especially with the freezing and the thawing and stuff around here. So checking your wooden vessels, make sure you let your harbor master know how to reach you. One of the biggest things that we run into is that something does happen, and then we're trying to get a hold of who the owner is so that we can go ahead and get it taken care of.
The Coast Guard does weekly checks on all of Juneau's harbors, but tries to visit other small southeast communities as often as possible. Bravo Farms out of California is recalling all of its cheese because of possible E. coli contamination. The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation has confirmed that the products are in the state, and they have more details about it at their website. And DEC is also now on Twitter. The recall affects all Bravo Farms varieties of cheese. Products should be discarded or returned to the place of purchase. E. coli is a bacterium that can cause serious foodborne illness. Symptoms may include abdominal pain, diarrhea, and vomiting. No matter how snowy, foggy, or cloudy the sky is Tuesday, Chilkat Valley residents will have a rare chance to see the brilliance of Alaska's starry night sky. A planetarium exhibit is visiting Haines and Clockwan on November 30th, with two shows planned for area schools and one at the Sheldon Museum in Haines for the public. Susanna Dowds is the museum's education coordinator. The unusual show is open to the public there on Tuesday evening.
And it's like this great big dome, and then on the top part of it, they have constellations that they show, and they show, they show the Northern Lights. They show constellations from where they're seen from different parts of Alaska. They're obviously based in Fairbanks, so that's what they start off with.
The 12-foot-high dome is about 20 feet wide and is a traveling exhibit from the University of Alaska Fairbanks. It's a NASA grant and the UIF Geophysical Institute that have joined forces to bring the state's only digital portable planetarium to communities in rural Alaska.
And I think that since there's so much darkness, that there's the night sky is so prominent in Alaska in the wintertime, that having a program like this really helps people understand what they're looking at when they're walking home or driving home at, 3 o'clock and it's pitch dark out.
The entire dome can be packed into checkable luggage or on board a small plane to visit some of the state's remote areas. Schools and towns benefit from a program called NASA Days, which include planetarium shows for students to illustrate space science concepts and community science nights, like the one in Haines on Tuesday. The planetarium dome has, since 2009, entertained residents from 43 rural communities, including Shishmaref, Little Diomede, Chignik Lagoon, and Unalaska. That's where Dowd saw it herself last year. She's been hoping to have it come to Haines ever since.
I was at the Museums Alaska Conference about a year ago in Unalaska where they had it. The first thing actually that strikes you when you walk in is the way the sound carries, because it's a domed structure, and even if somebody across from you is whispering to the person next to them, they may not be able to hear it, but you can because the acoustics travel in a dome-like way.
Dowds took the job as education coordinator at the museum just months ago and is working to organize regular events for the public. The museum's Kids Days on Saturdays beginning this month are also part of the Education Department.
We actually just started that in November, and we've been doing celestial activities to, in anticipation of the planetarium. But we'll also be offering school programs for kids that want to come from local schools and hopefully have other events like this. I think it's really important for community outreach. The Clean Coat classes are part of sort of the education coordinator's duties. And all of the evening afternoon programs are mostly the education coordinator's responsibility.
The planetarium exhibit from the University of Alaska Fairbanks is open to the public at the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center in Haines on Tuesday, November 30th. Several shows begin at 5:30 p.m. It's free, appropriate for adults and kids, with kids' crafts available. The presentations are about 20 minutes long.
And I was blown away by it. So it's appropriate for little kids. That's why we're having it at 5:30, just in case there's early bedtimes. But I think adults will get a kick out of it, too. The crafts and things are aimed at children, but the planetarium itself is appropriate for anybody.
Reporting for KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell. Even when you're out of town, you can still feel close to home. Just visit khns.org and click on the Listen tab. There, you can keep up to date with news and events until you're back home.